We're continuing in our series entitled House of Prayer. Everybody say House of Prayer. House of Prayer. Pastor Miles did a great job last week introducing us to the imitation of prayer and the different steps of the Holy of Holies the brazen altar and steps of we start with thanking God and then confession and cleansing ourselves, then bringing Him our request. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to cover the power of prayer. And then mark your calendars, all the campuses, for January 25th, and two more Sundays from now. It's the result of prayer, but we're calling it, pay attention, Miracle Sunday. Miracle Sunday. How many would say, I need a miracle in my life today? Or if you don't need one, how many say, you know somebody that needs a miracle? Somebody that needs a breakthrough, they need healing, they need a job, they're praying for a house, they're praying for their health. I talk to people every single week, just got the cancer diagnosis. Bring them on the 25th. We cannot wait. We're already getting excited about what God's doing now, let alone on the 25th. Amen? Okay, today, though, I want to talk to you about the relationship of prayer. God has called us to be in relationship with Him, and part of the way that we do that is having a relationship with prayer. So let's start right now. Why don't you join me as we pray? Lord, thank You for our time today. Thank You for the gift of prayer, where we can speak to You and connect with You, helping us grow in relationship to Your Son, Jesus. And so we ask You, Holy Spirit, to speak today and open up our hearts, make us more like Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Over the holidays, we were going through all of the holiday movies, and there's a lot of movies that play in December on a regular basis, whether it's Elf, or it's this one or that one, or Home Alone. How many have seen Home Alone? Did anybody watch Home Alone this past Christmas? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, did you know there's 6 Home Alone movies? That's a lot of Home Alones, right? Like, he's still Home Alone? Come on, bro. Like, after the second one, it's like, you can pull it together. They're different actors, and we watched the first 3 quite a bit, and then my son was playing the first one a lot. Well, here, spoiler alert, Kevin, his family goes on vacation, and he's left Home Alone. So, big spoiler alert there for you if you haven't seen the movie. But this main character, Kevin, in the beginning, his parents are getting ready to go on vacation, and he and his brother and cousin are on the top floor of their home looking down through the window at their neighbor. His name is Old Man Marley. And Old Man Marley is down there, and he's scraping the snow, and it kind of has that kink, 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 kink sound, and kind of eerie. And he looks up and sees Kevin and his brothers, and they all go, ooh, and they're scared of Old Man Marley. And then Kevin's brother, Buzz, tries to scare Kevin, and he goes, as Old Man Marley is scraping the snow, he's got this trash can full of whatever it looks like. Maybe it's snow, maybe it's salt. And Buzz goes to Kevin, that's where they keep the bodies. And then Kevin goes, the bodies. He's scared of Old Man Marley. And so his parents go on vacation. Now he's left to home alone. And he runs into Old Man Marley a few times in the movie, and he doesn't want to talk to him. He's avoiding him. And then later, because now Kevin's starting to miss family, and he misses his mom, and so he finds himself in a church of all places, and what does he do? He goes there to pray, and he's sitting in his seat to pray, and who shows up to pray right next to him and sits right next to him? Old Man Marley, you got it. And there he is, and Old Man Marley strikes up this conversation with Kevin McAllister, and come to find out, he's a pretty nice guy, and they have some things in common. Old Man Marley has a granddaughter the same age as Kevin, and there are some theories that Old Man Marley is the picture image of Jesus Christ in the movie. He's the man that comes to rescue him in a time of need, because later in the movie, Old Man Marley bonks the robbers and saves Kevin. He's the image of the person that comes to comfort in time of feeling alone and lost. And then in that big barrel was actually salt. And so what is Old Man Marley doing? He is salting the earth. They didn't have a relationship until they started talking. They had conversation, they had communication, and out of that bursts a relationship. The simplest explanation of prayer is that prayer is talking to God. It's communicating with the creator of the universe. And all the married people at church today know that the cornerstone for any good relationship is what? Communication. All the married people said amen. They know. Communication. And so if you have poor communication, you have a poor relationship. If you have good, honest, frequent, vulnerable communication. You maybe have a strong relationship. So here's the question. You don't have to show by raising your hand. You don't have to shout out loud, but just think about it. Here's the million-dollar question today. How's your communication with God? How has your communication with the Lord been recently? Has it been, hit and miss at best? Has it been every single day? Or maybe for some people, you haven't prayed in weeks, months. How's it been? How's that relationship? Because prayer flows from identity, meaning that who you believe you are in light of who God is determines your prayer life. Out of that flows some sort of prayer life. And it goes like this. God is great, and God is tremendous, and God is big, and God is faithful. Therefore, as a follower of Jesus, I will be great in Christ. I will be faithful to the Lord. Therefore, my prayers are big, bold, faithful prayers. Are you tracking with me on that? And the same goes if God is a distant God, and God is a harsh God, and he's mad at me, and he never really did anything for me anyways, then as a person, I'm distant from God too. And I'm not close to God, even if I call myself a Christian. And then my prayer life is weak and small, and I pray small prayers because prayer flows from identity. In fact, Pastor Miles next week wants to take a deep dive on that very subject. But here's what I want you to take home with you today. Prayer is a recipe for relationship, not just a ritual for religion. Prayer is building a relationship. It's a relationship that we have with the Lord. Prayer is a recipe for building and forming relationship, not just a I memorized it ritual for religion. In fact, a lot of you from the time you were little may have been taught the right things to say about God, but you were never taught how to draw near to God. And so you got all the prayers memorized, but they don't mean it. You just say the words, you don't mean the words. That's where you get these weak relationships with prayer. That's where you get the broken relationship with prayer. Or maybe at one of our campuses, you're thinking, I don't even pray. And it could sound like this. I don't pray because it never worked for me. I prayed last time and nothing happened. I didn't get what I prayed for. Therefore, I don't pray anymore. It doesn't work. Or you're thinking, it didn't work for them. My family prayed for that person that had the diagnosis and they didn't get healed. And so it doesn't work for them and it didn't work for me. Or maybe you're thinking, I barely made it here. I don't have time to pray. It takes a lot of time and it's just, it's complicated. I don't know what to say. Anybody been there before? I've been there. I don't know what to say. In fact, you go around and you hear some of the church mothers and they're out here just, thouest and thees and the name and the glory of the Lord and the blood of Jesus by the power. And you're just like, it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't even know how they got there. This prayer can be complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Here's what I think God is saying to us today. Real simple. Can we have a conversation? I think God is telling us today at church, can we talk? Can you and I have a conversation about who I am, says the Lord? Can you and I talk and can I just download who I have called you to be? Can we talk? Would you be honest about what you're going through and bring your burdens to me? Can we have a conversation? Can we talk? In fact, if I had to put a title on the message, that's what I'd call it. Can we talk? And I want to do a little study today in Luke chapter 11. If you have your scripture with you, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, and we'll have it on the screen for you if you don't have it with you. Maybe you got the Bible app. And if I can encourage you to get a Bible if you don't have one, download the Bible app. It's free and go through God's Word. But Luke chapter 11, and Jesus has a cool encounter with his disciples, 12 of his closest followers. And they ask him to teach them how to pray. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read from the NIV translation. And it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, by the way, does that sound familiar so far? Good. But it switches up right here in Luke chapter 11. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. How many would just say, that's a strange time to ask a friend for a snack? Knock on the door and be like, hey bro, let me get some bread. You got any of that Cheesecake Factory bread? I'm on a fast. I need some of that. Come on. Sourdough and brown bread. Let me get it. Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I don't have any food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers him, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I'll tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, lean in, yet because of your shameless audacity. Jesus says it's not because of the friendship, but because of your urgency and your belief about the friendship. It's almost like saying, I can't believe you had the boldness and the courage to show up. You must really think that we're close. But because of the shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's a good story. But our story begins where Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, however you've come to know it. And maybe with your background, you've known this prayer. Jesus taught it twice in the scriptures, once before this in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. I've been blessed to be able to stand on the Mount of the Beatitudes, where Jesus actually preached the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, he's teaching many things. And at one point, he goes, let me talk to you about prayer. In fact, this is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, the power, forever and ever. And amen. It's a long prayer. He taught them. And you would think they got it. So why is he teaching it again? Because just like you and me, we forget stuff all the time. And so they come to him, even though they've heard it before, and they go, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he goes, perfect, I'll just go back and do what a lot of rabbis did. They would repeat the things that were important. And so here's a little, pastor thing. If you've ever heard a pastor preach a sermon twice, all we're doing is doing what Jesus already did. Come on, somebody. We're just like, I think I heard this. We're just doing what Jesus did. Come on now. He repeats it, and he starts with the Our Father, but notice he pivots, doesn't he? He goes, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. He kind of summarizes and he goes, you know what? Let me tell you a story. Why? Because he wants to tell him about a relationship. He knows that the Lord's Prayer is somewhat formulaic. In fact, I remember going to Catholic school from junior high up until high school. I was never Catholic, but I went to all-boys Catholic school, and I was on the basketball team in eighth grade. And then I don't have moves now, but I had moves then. And in eighth grade, we'd all huddle up, and we'd say the Our Father. We'd say the prayer together. And then, we were all just, Our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And no one's meaning the prayer. They just memorized the prayer. And so why is Jesus telling them a story? Because he doesn't want them to memorize words. He wants them to have meaningful relationship. Don't memorize the words just for the word's sake. The target is Our Father. That's the target. Our target is the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he tells them this story. Prayer is a recipe for relationship, not a ritual for religion. And that's how church Jesus lived. He lived it. He lived it. In fact, I want to show it to you behind me. Here's a list of all the times in the New Testament that Jesus prayed and taught on prayer. At his baptism, Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 3. Choosing the 12 apostles, he prayed in Luke chapter 6. Before healing Peter's mother-in-law in Mark 1 verse 35 and Luke 4:42, recorded twice. Before feeding the 5,000 and after feeding the 5,000. Early morning solitude, he would get away and pray. He'd regularly withdraw away to go pray, captured in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Before Peter's confession at the Mount of Transfiguration, before predicting his death, he prayed. He had a prayer of thanksgiving recorded in Matthew, Luke, and on the Sermon on the Mount, parable of the persistent widow, which sounds a lot like the parable of the persistent friend at midnight. There it is right there. The Lord's Prayer, Last Supper, Gethsemane, and on and on and on. And these are just the ones that we have seen. Imagine all the times that Jesus prayed that weren't recorded. And here's what we know. Jesus wasn't trying prayer. Jesus lived prayer. And before he ever taught on prayer, what did he do? He modeled a life of prayer. Prayer is an invitation to pray with Jesus and to pray just like Jesus prayed. I want to give you four things. Someone say four. Four practical things that people that have a good relationship with prayer do. Here's number one. They pray every day. They pray every day. Every single day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually in the NIV. In the NLT, it says, never stop praying. In the New King James Version, it says, pray without ceasing. I think we're getting the picture. Don't stop praying. Never stop praying. Always pray. Pray every day. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Anybody at church today, just start dating somebody, if you have the courage to lift your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, right in the middle. That's cool. Okay. Is that person with you? No. Okay, you just said no. Okay, last service, there was a gentleman right here in the room, and he was like, oh, yeah. Then he looked next to her, and he's like, we are, right? And then she went, oh, my gosh. It was a great moment, great moment. Okay, so it's for you and everybody else in the campuses to kind of just, you know, by raise of hands. How many would think when you first start dating someone, it's just week one, I'm interested, that you should talk once a week? That's a good amount of time. Once a week. Anybody think that's good? Got a couple hands going, yeah, once a week, that's all I need from him. Okay. How many would say two times a week in the beginning is probably the right amount of conversations when you just start dating? Anybody on two hands? Okay. I got a couple in the back. How many would say three times a week is the right amount of frequency when you just start dating? Anybody three? A couple of you? Okay, there's a lot of no hands because you don't want to be weird and admit that you call people every single day of the week. Okay. Yeah. How many would say every single day? You guys are strange, man. That's crazy. You calling people every day? It's like, chill, bro. Let me enjoy the weekend. I was the same way. Same way when dating Vanessa. Like Monday, how was church? Tuesday, I'm just in my word. What are you doing? Wednesday, call again. Took a break on Thursday. Don't make it weird. Picked it right back up on Friday. And just, man, just wanted to talk. I don't know if you remember Tevin Campbell, anybody? Remember him? 1994. Can we talk? I had that vibe with me. I was just like, hey, girl, can we talk? I brought the song with me just so that you could remember it. This is it. 1994. Give it a second. Here comes the chorus. We're going to sing it together. All together. Here we go. Hey, for the Lord. For the Lord. Man, I was blowing her up. Can we talk? What's happening? I just want to know your name. That was me blowing up. There's no good relationship that has the frequency of communication that's just every so often. My wife and I wouldn't have a healthy marriage if I just came into the house and said, what's up? There's a lot of Christians doing that with the Lord. What's up? I know who God is, but I don't really speak to him. I don't talk to him. I don't tell him my life. Every occasionally, Christmas, Easter, when things are really bad, I'll reach out to him. No relationship that wants to be close grows that way, but when you realize that prayer is the difference between what I can do and what's possible through God, you pray every day. When you realize that prayer is the difference, watch this, between where I am and where I want to be in my job and where I am in my relationship, where I want to be married, where I am today in my single life and I want to meet somebody, where I am today drowning in debt, where I want to be debt-free, the difference between where I want to be and where I was is prayer. You start praying every day. You wake up and go, I got to pray. You're at lunch going, I got to pray. In the evening, I got to pray. Tomorrow, I got to pray. Why? Because this is where I end and God begins. I've maxed out Travis, and I'm now tapping into the supernatural. believing that prayer makes a difference. And people who have a good relationship with prayer, they pray every day. That's just what they do. Here's the second thing. We pray every day. The number two, we pray about everything. They pray about everything. That's what a good relationship with prayer looks like. They pray about everything. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And so if you worry about everything, that's because you pray about nothing. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let the enemy come against me. I'm not going to let the shame, the condemnation get a hold of me. I could sit there and ruminate on my thoughts and worry, but instead, I'm going to pray about it. I worry about nothing. Why? Because I'm praying about everything. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. You can even go to God with frustrating prayers. You ever been in that spot where you just don't have any words to say to God? Maybe you've ever been mad at God before and thought, well, I better not tell Him, thinking that He doesn't know that you're mad. If I close my eyes, like when you were a kid, if I close my eyes, they can't see me. That's what you look like when you're mad at God and you just say, I'm not gonna say nothing. He knows. And rather than you pretend like He doesn't exist, what He'd rather you do is come to Him with moans and groans and frustration. And God, don't you see my life? God, don't you see what I'm going through? How can that happen, Lord? I've been faithful. I've been going, and then this is happening? He'd much rather deal with that. And He's going, yes, let's talk about that. Let's deal with that. I'm a big God. I can handle your frustration. I can handle your pain. I can handle your worries. I can handle your doubt. Don't pretend like I'm not here. Talk to me, son. Talk to me, daughter. Bring me your prayers. Over these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I think I mentioned, if I didn't hear the last service, that I'm off social media, and it's been great. It's the third year I've done it. How many think that'd be great if we all just did a regular social media cleanse? Yeah. Yeah. The only ones that didn't clap are thinking, like, well, where am I going to gossip without accountability? It just, you know, I need a place to just to slide into people's DMs and just send random comments and blow up people's Instagrams. It's like, man, listen, if we would all just get off it, I think it'd be great. And some of you, well, how am I going to find out where to find a plumber? Because I usually go on Facebook and I ask 300 people I've never met before their recommendation on who should come into my house and fix my sink. We post about everything, don't we? We're posting constantly. Listen, some of the things we're posting about, we should be praying about. In fact, don't post, pray. Instead of post, pray. You know how different your life would be if you just pray about it? Pray about everything. And instead of jamming up the comments and going, da-da-da-da-da, here's what I think. Bring those thoughts to the Lord and see what God does in your heart, your life, and does in their situation. I don't have to constantly be just bop, 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 post this. No, save the post. Get into prayer. Because the people that have that good relationship and their relationship with God looks great, and it's just a reflection of their prayer life, and their prayer life is a reflection of their relationship with God. It's because they pray every day. Number two, they pray about everything. I wrote this down. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. He cares about all the details of your life, the big things, the small things. And what's a big prayer? The cancer diagnosis, that's a big prayer. He cares about that prayer. Pray about that. He cares about what job decision are you going to make, and should we move there? Those are great decisions. Should I meet this person? Should I marry this person? He wants to know all about that. But even the more simple prayers, like, God, I feel a little stressed. Pray about that. God, my kid's soccer game. He wants to hear about that prayer too. And then even the ones that maybe feel ridiculous, like any parking spot prayer warriors in the house today? Come on, that's me. The PSPS, parking spot prayer saint. Let's go. Come on. I got one yesterday. Me and Levi were pulling up, and I said, Lord, give us it. We were on the way to golf. He does golf in the mornings, and so we were going and on Saturday, and I said, Lord, give us a spot, because we were kind of coming in hot. I said, Lord, give me a spot for the glory of the Lord, and wouldn't you believe it? Whoop, whoop. I looked back. I said, we pray about everything. Let's go. I'll pray for the parking spots. Hey, you can join me. You can join me. Don't worry. Begin to pray. But my father-in-law came over the other day, and he went on a cruise to Hawaii, great cruise. And he said, hey, I want you to pray for travel mercies. I said, you don't need any mercies. You're going to Hawaii. You should be praying for us. But I love him because he prays about everything. Prays about everything. And so people that have that relationship, that's good. They pray every day. They pray about everything. And then number three, they pray for everyone. They pray for everyone. Who's everyone? Well, it's the people you like and it's the people you don't like. It's the neighbor that makes you a little bit agitated that they never mow their lawn. Just speaking for a friend. It's the family members you love. It's the ones you don't want to call. It's your best friend. It's your stranger. And watch this. It's your enemies and the people that even hurt you. It's even that one. Can you believe it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's everyone. Pray for your enemy. Pray for the person that manipulated that situation. Pray for the person that stole that thing from you. Pray for the person that broke up that one thing that you were really excited about. Bless them. Pray for them too. We pray for everyone. That's when you have that relationship, you pray for everyone. James 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. Shout powerful and effective. Say effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Did you know that your prayers have power? But your prayers for other people are only powerful if you actually pray for other people. Your prayers have the ability to change someone's life. But you'll change nobody's life if you never pray for anybody else. They have the power. They're powerful. They're effective. One of our pastors, his name is Ariel, he was at the dentist the other day, this week, and he texted a friend of ours and myself and said, hey, I was at the dentist and my battery died and I couldn't start my car, and a random guy pulled up and said, hey, do you need help? And this random person gave him a jump start so his truck could work again. They got into a conversation, and Ariel isn't just a pastor here at church, but he's a follower of Jesus everywhere he goes, and he's a prayer warrior. And so he prayed for that strange, random guy. What he didn't know is that somebody else from our church happened to be going and pulling up to that same dentist and took a picture of it. And he captured this really cool moment. And so he goes, you're not going to believe it. Somebody that we know was actually, I didn't know they were going to be there, saw me doing this and captured this picture. Imagine if we became the type of city that prayed for everyone. Imagine if you became the type of person that everywhere you went, people knew you prayed for everybody. I was talking about my buddy Eddie here in the last service. Imagine if Eddie walked into rooms and people just knew, oh, Eddie's here, prayer warrior's here. What do you need? What do you guys need? Because Eddie prays every day, by the way. Eddie prays for everything and he prays for everyone. So who needs prayer? But imagine if that was what people said about you. And it began to shift the atmosphere. And it says it right here. Your prayers are powerful. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It can move and break strongholds. It can lift and encourage people. And people that have that strong relationship with prayer, they don't just pray every day. They don't just pray for themselves and pray for everything. They pray for every single person. And it has nothing to do with how loud your prayer is. It has nothing to do with how many fancy words you speak, but it has everything to do with how faithful you've been in your relationship with prayer. Faithful in prayer. Strong relationship in prayer. Here's number four. People who have a good relationship with prayer, and this is my favorite one, they pray with expectation. Expectation. Psalm verse, or chapter 5, verse 3, it says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and say it with me, and wait expectantly. I wait expectantly. That doesn't mean I wait hoping. I wait and we'll see. It says I wait expectantly. And all that means is that I'm waiting because I believe something is on its way. And so when I pray not just going, just speaking words up to the magic fairy guy upstairs. That's not what's happening. It's hitting heaven. It's reaching the Lord to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's making its way to heaven. And God is saying, when you pray, I hear your prayers, and you can pray and wait with expectation because an answer is on its way. Something is on its way. And God always answers prayers. And whether you believe it or not, go, no. No, it doesn't. Yes, he does. You just probably didn't get the answer you wanted. But God always answers prayers in one of three ways. He either says, yes, be blessed. The thing you're praying for, yes. Or number two, he says, no, not yet, keep praying. Why would he do that? Because I'm getting you ready, and I'm doing something in her life, and I'm also doing something about the whole situation. So I could say yes today, but can I just tell you, if I gave it to you, it would break you. If I gave it to you now, you wouldn't appreciate it. If I brought them in front of you right now, sis, you'd miss them. You wouldn't see it. And so sometimes it's yes, be blessed. Other times it's no, not yet, keep praying. And the third one is I have a different plan. In fact, you're not even praying about it. The thing that I have for you, you haven't even thought about it. Over the holidays, we were watching the news during Christmas, and the week of Christmas, an Amazon truck got caught up in the wind and the rain and maybe the slippery roads, and the news was reporting that it had fallen over and it burst open, and out of it came all of our Christmas packages here in San Diego. Anybody see that report? And you know what I did? I was like, pulled up the Amazon app. I'm like, hold on, let me refresh and check my package. Was that one of mine? Because we have that tracking refresh, and you can hit the tracking number, and you can see that there's stages to the delivery. And it says, hey, being prepared, you know, you've been tracking it since Michigan. Spent 3 days in Texas. Like, what's it doing in Texas? Who's in Texas with my package? But then the green light is this one. It's in your area, and it's out for delivery. Here's what God came to tell you this morning, today. Your prayer, it's out for delivery. Your prayer request, he heard it. He's working on it. He's getting it ready. Whether you've been asking for it or not, your situation, it's out for delivery. God has an answer about your situation. And it could be yes, it could be not yet, but that's coming. It could be I got something different. It's out for delivery. It's on its way. And our job is not to say, I don't like that. That's not what I asked for. It doesn't work. I'll never pray again. Our job is to say, Lord, with open hands, I wait with expectation, believing that something is coming, Lord. And it's from you, and it's good. And I won't fight you with what I get. You want me to wait? I'll wait. You want me to keep going? I'll keep going. You want me to go talk to them? I'll go talk to them. You want me to lay it down and surrender it? I'll lay it down and surrender it. But I will wait with expectation, Jesus, believing that it is out for delivery. It's on its way. So I'm praying every day. I want us to be people who pray every day. I want to see a church that prays every day, that prays about everything, not just the sweet prayers, not just the good stuff. Pray the hard stuff. Pray the messy stuff. Pray the dangerous prayers. It sounds like this, Lord, I surrender. That's a dangerous prayer. Not my will, may your will be done. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. That's a dangerous prayer. I'm going to pray for every one, and I'm going to pray with expectation. He's on his way. So here's what I want to do for the next couple minutes. And hang out with us, campus, if you're still hanging on with us, everybody online. I want to give you a minute just to pray with whatever words you have, anything that God has given you, any prayer request, any need, and just open it up. And you can pray quietly right there in your seat. You can pray out loud, but I'll give you a minute to pray. And then Pastor Ruben and some of the team's going to come out and lead us in just a moment of worship. And if you don't have to leave, don't leave. This could be some of the sweetest portion of our service, just to pray, and then we worship God in expectation that the prayer is on its way. He's about to deliver that answer to your prayer. Take a minute right now and just begin to pray with whatever words you have. Lord, we know that you hear our cries. Your word tells us so. And you cannot go against your word. So thank you today that you are receiving these requests and receiving these blessings. And some of us, all we said was, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. Some of us, we just confess, Lord, I confess, Lord, I confess. Others lifted up and said, Lord, help me, strengthen me. God, take the anxiety, take the pain, heal my cousin, heal my family. Lord, I need that job. When am I going to get that breakthrough? When will it be my turn? And Lord, I know you've heard our prayers. So we lift that up to you, believing by faith that you're answering our prayers. It's on its way. And so now, by faith, in expectation of you coming through and being who you say you are, we worship you. So would everybody just stand together? We're going to worship together. When we worship, we're just saying, Lord, I by faith, I believe it's coming. By faith, I believe my miracle is on its way. By faith, I believe that job is going to open. By faith, I'm just agreeing and already giving you praise. We don't just praise him when it happens. You pray him on its way. God, I'm just in anticipation. We praise you and we worship you. Let's worship right now together. Pastor Reuben.
With expectation, Lord, we pray. With expectation, Lord, we praise.
Come on, Jesus.
With expectation, Lord, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Right here, right now. With expectation, Lord, we praise. Come on and offer your hands and your life as a sacrifice. Say, with expectation, Lord, we pray. We believe. With expectation, Lord, we pray. One more time. With expectation, Lord, we pray. Before your throne. With expectation, Lord, we praise. And worthy is your name.
Sing it out.
You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus.
We praise you because we believe
you. Who is worthy, say, we exalt thee. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Oh,
Lord, we exalt you today. We bless you today. We praise you today. You are worthy of our praise. So we exalt the name that is above every other name. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for receiving our worship today. If there's somebody here under the sound of my voice that needs to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and begin that relationship, begin speaking to him in a fresh way, maybe for the first time, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. Just say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that my way hasn't been working. And I confess that, Jesus, you love me. You lived and died for me. And I invite you, Lord, into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you that you love me. I confess that today I love you. I'll give my life to you. As your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, would you lift your hand right now all across the room at your campus? Lift your hand, lift your hand. You prayed that prayer today. Awesome, awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every hand, every heart, every prayer. We lift it up in the name that's unlike any other name. You are holy, you are worthy, and we exalt you, O Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Give God a great big shout, church. Come on, clap your hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.